Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is called the Hobo Killers, serial killers Ray and Faye Copeland. They were a married couple who killed some transients back in the 1980s. They were responsible for at least 5 murders and possibly more. So we're going to talk about their dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me remind you that we are a comedy podcast and we use adult language. So if you are offended by adult language, this is probably not the podcast for you. If you're offended by immature behavior, this is definitely not the podcast for you. But if you have a sense of humor and you're okay with it, you like to learn about serial killers, then welcome. And I would like to introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by Her Majesty.
Oh, for fuck's sake. We're still sticking with this one.
Shh.
Brandy, known as Brandy the Benevolent.
Yes.
Queen Brandy the First. Long live the Queen. How are you today, Your Majesty?
I am all right, Timmy. How are you today?
I am fine. How was your week so far? Since I know you haven't been podcasting, so I don't know what the hell you're doing over there.
Well, I actually do my job.
That's not true either.
I've been doing my job this week. I have. You don't know me. You don't know my job.
No, I do know that
you don't know my life.
I do know you've been spending some time at the Justice Center, and I wasn't sure if it was for your job or for some social or legal norms that you violated.
None of those things. I'm reaching out to those that are getting ready to get out and letting them know what kind of services are available in the community.
And when you go down there, do they reach out to you?
I hope not. They stand against the glass, though, if they see me coming.
Do they rub their private parts up against anything?
No, not the guys in my pod where I'm going, but like on the way there.
She has her own pod.
Do you have your own pod there?
I do. I knew she would have a pod at some point.
I do. We have our own. There's a group of men. They're all in this one place. And they're very nice and very respectful, but yeah.
They don't touch themselves or anything?
No.
They probably do later.
Maybe, but going down there.
You can't deny them that.
Well, and I got lost one of the last times I was in there, so that was awful.
So you were just wandering around the jail.
I was wandering around the jail. I ended up in psych. I ended up like, there were some weirdos
down there.
I'd have been taken hostage. Yeah, I'd have been fucked.
In more ways than one, devil.
I know, but.
So what else is going on? How's Noah? How's young Noah?
Well, let me tell you about my little Noah.
Your five-year-old story.
Right? Yeah.
Is he 5 or 6 yet?
He's 6 now.
Okay.
Big deal.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Keep that straight, Timmy.
He's a big deal.
No disrespect.
So we were at my mom and dad's, and he kept throwing the shirt up in the air, and my parents have this big stone archway in their house, and he kept throwing his shirt up, and I told him, stop, you're going to knock something off, you're going to do whatever. Well, he ended up getting something in his eye.
Oh.
Dust or an eyelash or whatever, but you'd have thought that somebody had actually gone in and melon balled his eye out. So he is just carrying on, and I don't have time for this. I got to get to Old Navy. I need to get home. I need to do a couple things.
Yeah. Taking care of your child is
he's fine. Yeah, it's a fucking eyelash. Yeah, okay. He's okay.
It's way down on the list.
Yeah, I got to go to Old Navy. I got to get my pedicure. I got to do whatever. Just because my son's about to be a pirate and going to wear a patch the rest of his
fucking
day.
Fucking Helen Keller over
there.
Stop
at the liquor store. Yeah, I mean,
he's fine.
Got to get you some condoms for when you go to jail.
I said, no, you probably have an eyelash in your eye. Well, I don't know why, because I can feel them all still on my eyeball. So we go into Old Navy, and he's got this wet rag over his eye.
Well, of course, yeah.
As we go into Old Navy. And, of course, all these people are looking at me. I'm like, yeah, we got an eyelash or something in there. And, oh, yeah.
Sure. Meanwhile, they're calling child protective
Been drinking again.
But he's got this rag over his eye, and he's walking around. He's bumping into things. Well, then he found a mannequin, and all of a sudden his eyes were so much better because then I get, Mom, look, I'm spanking the mannequin's booty, and he's whipping on the mannequin. And then he's, Mom, and he's reaching up and, like, grabbing her boob. And I said, Jesus, fuck. So Noah is good.
Well,
Noah's feeling up to mannequins in Old Navy.
He was feeling up to mannequins. Well, all of a sudden his eye was so much better.
Yeah, well, yeah.
When you're 6 years old, a mannequin is a miracle.
It is.
You know, disappointing. They're just like Ken and Barbie because they don't have genitalia.
They don't have the real genitalia.
He doesn't care about that, you know.
But I guess
he will when he gets older.
You know, if you had a woman mannequin.
I assume so.
Oh, really, a man mannequin.
Or he needs a drill.
And some silicone cock. You could fix that thing right up.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. It was enough that we were out in public and he's groping at the mannequin.
And it would never decay on you, Timmy.
That's true.
Yeah, it'd be good. You have to change out
You've
the cock
every
once in a while.
Yet.
Let me do that. Okay, let me introduce the a man who's considered the most dangerous man in podcasting
he's
today.
He's not.
The moral compass of our podcast.
Nope.
A man who's been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
No.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Couldn't be better, Timmy. Couldn't be better. I got here a little late.
Well, we were waiting for you.
A little late.
We were ready at 11 o'clock.
Your motherfuckers weren't ready at 11 o'clock. You called me down here at 11 o'clock. I've been sitting here for 2 fucking hours, hour and a half.
We did not call you down here.
You guys put together, I put the goddamn Patreon list together 3 times, and every time we do a show, somebody got a, where's the Patreon list?
First of all, nobody called you down here. You came down with
down.
You came rolling in.
Whenever. Disheveled.
And I was very up very late last night.
Well, the point is, Colonel.
The rest of us manage.
We were here on time. You know it's Friday. You know we want to, you know, try to wrap things up a little bit early. We've got stuff to do.
We have lives.
And yet here you are rolling in at noon.
Just whenever you want, willy-nilly.
You know, if I didn't have people keeping me up all hours of the night, I'd be fine. But you know what?
It's now 20 after 12. And Brandy, if you switched a shorthand and a longhand, it'd be 4 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
Late.
Sweet Jesus. Yeah, you two run out of here. Now, you talk about when I get here, what time I get here. But you some bitches run out like this place is on fire, come 1, 2 o'clock. I'm here till 6 o'clock, working my poor little colonel fingers to the bone.
Well, first of all, you're not working. Second of all, you don't have to be here that late.
I do.
No, you don't.
If somebody's in the building, I got to be here.
No.
You're avoiding your family, let's be honest.
No, that's not even true. Because on the very few occasions I've had to close, I've left out of here at like 5.
Oh, yeah.
5:15.
Well, I stay here till everybody is evacuated.
And the building is secured.
That's your own
the
personal
building
thing.
Is secured.
Do you wear your vest?
No, but I do strap on my...
the colonel and I are the safety wardens for the building.
We are.
And we make sure everyone is safe and secure.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an
active... I would
active,
love it, a real emergency.
If there's
to see
an
how
active
works.
Shooter, your lives are in our hands.
In our hands. I have fashioned a crossbow out of some office supplies. So if we have that situation arise, I got you covered, devil.
Yeah, I'm good.
Do you feel safe and secure in our hands?
No.
Devil, I would take a bullet for you. That's how seriously I take my floor warden
job.
Not one
that's been fired, just like one, you know. It's
one
like
that's laying
out
around.
Box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I would take a bullet for you.
Yeah.
You'd catch a grenade for me if the pin was still in it. Yeah.
He would jump on a grenade for you.
If the pin was in it.
Yeah, well, of course.
You know, once you reach my age, you really don't worry about things like that anymore.
Yeah. I see. It's just a matter of time. Yeah, it's not even a matter of time. It's not when, it's just how.
At this point, yeah.
Look, motherfuckers, he's 53 years old.
That's the beauty of this, Timmy. You don't use that like I do, and you're the same age.
No, I actually do. I look at it like even if I killed someone.
What are you going to give me, life?
Even if you get the death penalty, we would outlive our appeals.
Yeah. I'm like Bond. I got a license to kill.
Yeah. And he does, Brandy. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's amazing.
I got none.
She seems a little grumpy today, Carl.
You are a little grumpy today, Devil. You seem to, it's the second, Timmy.
We're going to do this?
Is it that time of the month?
No.
It's the second. It's usually with the Devil, your clock must be off because you usually hit about the 10th.
You know, there was a conversation that came up on our Facebook group page, History Dweebs.
You're a fucking idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
There was a discussion on the women and their monthly visitor,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not.
Please enlighten me with all your expertise on the menses.
Well, part of the discussion was, is it okay to pleasure a woman during that time of the month?
I don't know what pleasure means.
Well, it means for a man to...
I'm so grossed out by this conversation already.
But I just want to go on record because a lot of people seem to think I'm prudish, but really...
Oh, no, you're not a prude. I'm fucking squirrely.
I have no problems doing that.
Here's my problem.
But wait a minute, I want to tell you what my problem is.
What?
Because I'm very...
We don't have that much time.
If I say so to myself, I'm sort of the Mickey Mantle of oral sex. I'm very, very good.
I'm so grossed out.
You have a certain set of skills.
I do. I'm very good at it. But let me tell you the problem. Let me tell you the problem, ladies.
You know what?
Tell us the problem, Timmy.
All right.
Tell us the
problem. There. All right, it's customary.
It's the Mickey Mantle of oral sex over here.
Here's the thing. If I'm going to do that for your pleasure.
No, not ever mind.
Oh, fuck.
There's got to be a fucking time limit on it. This isn't open-ended. I say 18 minutes. 18 minutes is a fair amount of time.
18 minutes is
if
a fair
you can't
amount
get
of
off in 18 minutes, it's on you. Would you agree, girl?
I would say the day ain't got the hot bone to me.
I am so sad.
If they ain't got the hot bone, you can work son of a bitch for 3 days and ain't nothing
gonna
happen.
And they'll let you. Yeah, they'll let you. They won't fake and go, you know. They'll let you do that.
What the fuck was that?
Do the fake thing for me.
You know, I don't have no problems with women faking orgasms. Please do. You expect me to be down there an hour and a half? Well, then your jaw gets sore. It's a whole thing. But anyway, Colonel, how do you...
So hold on. Mickey Mantle had to retire early because he had bad knees. You're going to have to retire early because you got the TMJ from going down there too long.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you can get...
I had to get some Tums.
You can get jaw cancer from that. You can. Throat cancer?
Michael Douglas.
No. Motherfucker, he's a carpet muncher.
I was not prepared for that.
But Colonel, you told a story. Well, here's off the air about how you pleasure women at that time of the month.
I don't want to hear.
I don't think. And here's what I think. I don't think this is unreasonable. I think the women should wear a patch on their clothing when it's that time of the month. So
like
you know
Holocaust
what you're dealing
Jews.
With.
But wait, for my original point, do you think a timer would be out of the question? Like you have this timer.
No, I think you should carry an egg timer with you.
Kitchen timer.
Yeah. And then you set it for 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And then she's got to concentrate. She can't be fucking thinking about going to the Gap or whatever. She's got to concentrate.
Old Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes you
what's wrong with you?
Sometimes you banging away. You look like one of those Texas oil drills. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just going, nothing happening.
You get tired.
It's like, dude, this ain't my problem. You got a defect down there. There might be a recall on that vagina. You better check the manufacturer.
Although when a woman's on top, I don't mind. You can just like
take. Yeah, because you can watch sports. Oh, and yeah, you can do all kinds of stuff.
You can scroll your news feed.
First of all, you two are doing neither one of those things. All you're sitting there thinking is boobies, 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 boobies.
But I do think that is an idea.
But let me tell you, ladies, when you're doing that, when you're on top like that, reach around and grab the scrotum. That's all we ask, isn't it?
You are Timmy is the Dr. Ruth of the dweebs.
I'm just saying, if you want to pleasure your man, am I right?
Why did that happen? I get very skittish.
I don't want people touching my scrotum.
I don't mean to grab it. I mean, just, because you know in Thailand they do ball massages? That's all. It's like $25 for a ball massage.
I don't want it's a ball well massage. Worth it. I can massage my own balls.
I
can't blow myself.
Okay. But if you could, would you?
Yeah, I would.
If any of you,
then you're a cocksucker.
What Tim really likes is any of you going to Indianapolis with us, if you're on top and you're riding him, you just reach around a little bit and just jam your finger in his asshole.
No.
He loves that shit.
No. I draw the line there. Butt play.
I'm glad to see you guys.
I've got morals.
I'm glad there's a line.
Okay, Colonel. You were talking, Colonel, yesterday about how you pleasured a woman who was had her monthly visitor.
Well, I was, and you know, Timmy, you know me. I'm a gentle, considerate lover. And
Why does Timmy know that?
We often say that around the office. What? It's well known.
It's well known.
Yeah.
So, you know, one time, you know, I played a lot of sports, and I played soccer, and I had my thumb broken.
Mm-hmm. How did you get your thumb broken playing soccer?
I was a goalie.
Oh, okay.
And
so, you know, you're really
not supposed to use your hands.
Right.
But if you're a goalie, and those balls come at you quick sometimes. Sure. And I had one break my thumb.
Tell me about it.
And she sees some balls. She's seen
balls
some shit over here.
Left and right.
Yeah.
And so I had a cast, and I was pleasuring the woman, and reached down there. And
you were pleasuring her with your cast?
I thought, you know, if she was all right with it, I was all right with it.
Okay.
But
your thumb, it was a thumb cast?
It was a thumb cast, okay. Yeah. It just covered up my thumb and went down to my wrist. And it was that time of month, Timmy. The girl ruined my cast. That does not come out of a plaster. It does not come out of a cast.
How did you explain that when you went back to the doctor to have it removed?
I went home.
Oh, that's got to be disgusting. So you walked around with that fucking thing on?
Well, you can't get the cast wet, so I tried to scrub it off as best I could, and then I just said, fuck it, and I took black spray paint and spray painted all over the cast.
So the shit was red.
Yeah. It turned to, you know, a ugly color later. But
Was she satisfied?
She seemed to be. I wasn't. I was very disgruntled. Didn't break my thumb to have a cast like that. This is back before, you know, now they give you all different color casts.
Right.
Back then you only had white.
Right.
And then I That's go in back racist. In to get it taken off.
That was racist.
It was. Yeah. It was. And
what did they say to you when they took it off?
We have to be done with that.
They asked me why in the fuck I would spray paint my cast.
Didn't it smell? Didn't it smell?
Yeah, but casts
smell bad
didn't mind
anyway.
That.
Yeah, casts smell bad anyway. I mean, when you get, because they get sweaty and that in there.
Because, you know, when you're doing that orally at that time, it's a rustic kind of flavor.
Kind of like having a penny in your mouth.
Yeah. Brandy, our Patreon
supporters. Oh, my God. Have we moved on?
We would like to thank.
So, okay. But can we get on board with this?
God damn it.
That men should know and women should wear a patch?
Yes, I agree. Brandy,
a big red
make it
P.
Anonymous? So we know when to stay away from you.
So we know just to leave you. So like if I walk in here and you got the patch on your shoulder or on your arm as you should, I know to make my encounter with you as brief as possible.
Hers seems to last more than 5 days.
Though. It does. Yeah. It does. You get the PMS for a week and then you get the thing for a week.
Do you get
post-menstrual syndrome.
And then pre-menstrual syndrome.
She got the pre-menstrual syndrome and
pre-menstrual syndrome. Basically, it's 22 days a month.
Do you really think that that's what it is? Or, and I'm just throwing this out, Yeah. I'm just going to put this out on the table and see if it sticks. Or if you two motherfuckers just irritate the shit out of me. Like, I'm just putting that out there.
I don't think that's a...
Yeah, I don't know why that would...
off base.
Yeah, that seems like a strange allegation to
make. I'm just throwing it out that that could be a possibility.
I have been told me and Timmy are just delights to be around. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know you.
Brandy, yes. Tell us, give a shout out to our fine people who support us on Patreon.
I'm going to do that. We have Alicia and Chip, Jason, Jen Moyer, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron, Kimberly Cambron, Elise, Diane Student from the History Goes Bump podcast, Amber, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Dr. Jeff and Dawn, Joe Hopkins from the Now American History podcast, Andrew Happ, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia and Ruth Ann Fisher, Tyrone, Phyllis, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Mandy Swanson, Jennifer, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, Charlie and Allie from the Insight podcast, Chris Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, TJ Young. By the way, congratulations, TJ, on getting married.
TJ ran off, got married.
Yeah, tell somebody. We didn't know. I didn't know. Did you know he was getting married?
I did not know.
They eloped. That's the whole fucking point.
Is it a shotgun wedding?
You can fucking tell us.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations, TJ.
Congratulations, awesome. TJ.
Jason Dykes, Rudy the Wonder Dog, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, who is feeling better, I think.
She's feeling, and she's going dandy.
Yes.
Yes, yes, she is. Rachel, we're looking forward to meeting you.
Nene, Bridget Bernard, mm-hmm. Rosanna from They Walk Among Us.
Oh, and you know what?
What?
Rosanna, have you listened to all, you need to listen
to
that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Her husband has the best voice in podcasting. I mean, there ain't nary a voice in podcasting like her husband's.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, he is.
Yeah, I mean, he gets me a little tingly. I just sit and listen to their podcast because he makes me move? Tingly.
I am having some concerns right now.
Have you seen the man?
Did it move?
A little bit. I mean, have you ever seen this man?
Yeah, I saw him.
I mean, Rosanna's a beautiful woman, but this guy is...
I saw their wedding picture, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he is just... Okay, I'm embarrassing myself.
You are.
We are. And it's a little questionable.
Daniel.
He's
and
like
Kim.
The Brad Pitt of podcast. Oh, he's like, but he's dark. He's not blonde, but he's.
I'm
he's
not
got
sure
dark
why
hair.
You're still talking. You can't just close it.
Okay,
and those things won't
too far
accidentally
with him,
fall out.
Yes. Can we edit that part
of
out?
Your face.
Not gonna, a chance.
No.
Continue, Brandy.
Daniel and Kim
like
Bassett.
We edit. Like we
yeah, like we know how to edit.
Yeah. Tommy Lane, Shelly Garrett, Maggie Glover, Kelly Claret, Karen Widner, Callie Jones, Joseph, what is Joseph's last name? That's a hot mess of writing. Joseph, you know who you are. Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Becky Omelet, Karen Alden, Cheryl Pierce, Caitlin Campbell, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Catherine Cutgarage Richardson, and that's everybody.
And
what?
We've got one more.
Dottie?
No.
Who?
This guy's canine.
I said Rudy already. Dog.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Fucking pay attention. I said goddamn Rudy.
All right. That's your... I forgot. It's that time of the month. I'm sorry.
Don't
thank all of you. Who
we're not trying to rile the alligator over there.
Be very careful, Colonel.
Be very careful.
We would like to thank all of our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/historydweeps where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
I just a wee little bit, Timmy, and she's glaring at me over here.
No, I'm... You're making him uncomfortable.
Could you, Timmy? Could you ask her to just stop, Timmy?
Would you like for me to contact human resources?
Could you? Because I don't know that.
Really?
Stop it!
What are you gonna tell human resources? She's looking at me funny.
Well, you keep staring at me. I don't like it.
He has a right to feel safe.
Quit running your dick
hole. This should be a. Safe zone.
All right, let's
talk. You have to be so vulgar.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
it's the only way you fuckers
pay
attention to me.
Could you be a little bit ladylike just once in a while? See, that's the thing that about this podcast. People want two men and a lady. Be
well,
a fucking
lady
over here
for with
my
legs
sake,
open,
right?
Chewing tobacco.
I mean,
Jesus
be a lady.
Jesus Christ.
That's, you know what? Because when they talk about women in podcasts, we never get mentioned because she won't act like a lady. You act like a damn dude. You act like a truck driver. A truck driver sometimes say, God damn, when you around. Yeah,
cock
that's right. Yeah. They're like, she was at a truck stop to me and they had to ask her, could you watch your language?
No profanity.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a trucker stop. Could you watch your language, please? Just saying. That's all. I'm just trying to. Please, devil, let me help you help yourself.
He will give you some very good tips on how to be a lady. He'll teach you some adequate.
Yeah.
He'll teach you how to walk with a book on top of your head. I mean,
I do not believe the devil has ever. Oh, no. See, this can't. Oh.
She's got the screwdriver.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about
she poked me, Timmy.
He doesn't feel safe.
Well, he shouldn't.
It's not a safe zone for me.
He should not feel safe. You ever seen, remember those things that we used to talk about, that you take those metal rods and you jam them down a guy's penis?
Oh, and then when you guys say that like it means nothing.
And then when you flicked them, they would vibrate and it was supposed to give some kind of pleasure. They're things. They look like barbecue skewers.
I don't see how that could give anyone.
You know how you feel about that? That's how I feel when the two of you jackwads talk about my period.
No. He's the one that brought it up.
Let's talk about some hobo murders.
All right. Hobo murders. The serial killers Ray and Faye Copeland. First of all, never marry someone whose name rhymes with yours.
It seems bad.
It's like me marrying someone named Kim. It just shouldn't happen. And you marrying someone named Andy.
Or Randy. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Or Ray Chuck marrying somebody named
Fuck. Ray and Faye Copeland. We're a married couple moonlighting as con artists, Brandy.
Now, just some moonlight job. Ray, what were their real jobs?
Ray would later resort to becoming a serial killer.
Excellent.
Killer.
With his wife, Faye, acting as an accomplice. Ray and Faye Copeland were responsible for the deaths of at least 5 men in the 1980s. They were mostly transients or commonly known as hobos. So we got some hobos getting killed here. Colonel, your thoughts on that?
Well, that's going to, you know, hobos are
just. Of course, he has a thought on it.
Hobos are just rapey. I mean, every hobo
Not
we've
all
ever
hobos
had.
Hobos are rapey.
Carl Panzram was rapey.
Yeah, but he was rapey. He was hobo raping. He wasn't.
Well, he was raped by hobos. He got gang.
Well, at
by
one
hobos.
Point.
He got raped by hobos, then he raped hobos. It's a circle.
It's a vicious
circle.
Cycle.
It's a vicious cycle, yeah.
It's a what?
Vicious. But you can't just. It's not like you can just walk up with your dog and sit down at the campfire with a bunch of hobos and open up a can of beans and have a good time, tell some stories. Yeah, because you know it's like prison. Before
Little
the night's
Logan
over,
David.
Somebody getting raped.
Are they all orthodox? Are they fucking orthodox hobos?
Yeah. It's part of the hobo
code. He's opening
code.
Up Morgan yeah. David. Yeah. What the fuck?
Well, Mad Dog.
Thunderbird.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So anyway, Ray Copeland was
Boone's
born.
Boone's
Farm. Ray. Yeah. What happened to Boone's Farm?
It's still there.
Isn't it? They still sell that shit?
Well, there's still college, isn't there?
We was drinking like
yeah,
when we was 13.
They're still high school.
Oh, I love the Boone's
yeah,
Farm.
That was
Apple.
What you drank when you were like before you moved on to the hard.
Because it was like $3 a bottle.
Yeah. Ray Copeland was born on December 30th, Colonel, 1914, at the beginning of the First World War.
Wait, and they were killing people in the '80s.
Yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ, well, some old motherfuckers.
I didn't want to steal the Colonel's thunder, but they end up becoming the oldest couple ever to serve on death row.
Nice.
Him and his parents, Jess and Lanny.
What?
Not making it up. Jess and Lanny, but I think Lanny was his mother's name. They moved around the country, commonly during his childhood. And until they finally settled in the town of Ozark Hills, Arkansas. Ozark's from where Elise is from, who is with child. We're looking forward to her. Mm-hmm.
Lovely Elise.
Yes, who's on Team Timmy.
She about
She's
due.
The only person on Team Timmy.
And she about due.
She's lonely sitting on that bench.
Yes, she is lonely sitting on that bench. But she's very dedicated, and we're excited about she's going to
Don't worry, I'm going to get her over on my team.
No, she's very loyal. Anyway, Ray Cope. Him and his parents, okay, they lived in Ozark Hills, Arkansas. During their travels, I don't know why I worded this like this. Ray gained himself a younger sister and younger brother. Huh. I think it's
more. He gained?
I think.
They win him in a card game?
I think his mother gave birth to him. But
well, would,
that's
I would
typically
think.
How you get a brother or a sister, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The Copelands soon became one of the many victims, Brandy, of the Great Depression. That was an economic period.
Yeah, it was like.
I still have the fucking screwdriver.
Okay.
Just,
and I'm just saying this can go down anybody's dick hole.
You were not aware of the gong show.
No. It wasn't that I wasn't aware of the gong show. It was that it's not history. This thing is not going to be real picky about whose dick it goes in.
All right. So
I'm just saying.
I don't think it's long enough.
It doesn't matter. Does it matter?
Well, that's true.
I stick that down there and tap that with a hammer a couple times.
God, what's you just made me turtle up here.
Yep.
Okay. So the family was a victim of the Great Depression. Ray had to drop out of school in the fourth grade, Colonel, in order to help his family maintain their small farm.
Fourth grade?
Yeah. Aww. So he was what, 9?
Yeah.
Unless he was, I don't say. They say he was kind of a, I don't know how he's. Anyway, he appeared to have been spoiled other than, this family being dirt poor, demanding things frequently that were always delivered to him. So he wanted something, he got it. He was a poor student, however, and he dropped out, as I said, in the fourth grade. He was often teased by the other children, Colonel, and even some adults because Ray had a hair lip.
Oh.
No way.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, that's not nice. Be nice.
What kind of person does that?
Yeah.
These are kids. They are born this way.
At Christmas time, no. Come on.
What kind of person does that?
At Christmas time, who hasn't ever sang Hawk the Hair Lip Angel Sing?
I know.
Just
wouldn't,
you.
I wouldn't do
just
that.
Me. It's just you.
I wouldn't do that because that's mean.
It is mean-spirited. And this is the kind of people.
And these are children.
And that's the kind of.
Because children
what
are
kind
cruel.
Of monster children. Are you?
Children are little sociopaths. They don't give a shit what they do. If you got any kind of weakness as
a
child.
You're not a child, chronologically. So, what's...
At least in years.
Yeah. So, I'm confused.
I had the guy who did my angle
There's
management
a goddamn
thing
story
was a hair
about
lip.
This? Fine. But you don't make fun of him. It seems mean.
Well, you
it
could is. Make fun of him because he was... I had to get my certificate to say I completed it and give it to the judge.
It's mean. You're picking on this little kid who had a hair
lip. I was not picking on the kid.
Well, he is a serial killer. So
yeah.
But anyway, back to
But there
to
are
Ray.
Others that are not.
Right. Oh, I
it's
agree.
Hard to eat.
I agree.
If
it's
I have
it's
offended,
hard to eat. It's hard.
It's
people
a mean
die.
Thing to do. Yeah, it's a mean thing.
That's
because
a cleft palate. Look, I got a scar right there.
You and
right there.
That is a cool ass name, though. That's a good screen name. That's what a screen name I want. Cleft palate.
Is that your porn name?
Porn name. That's a panty dropper right there. Henceforth, I will be known as
Mr. Cliff Pallet.
All right. That's not funny. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. We apologize.
Well, it's Cliff.
We apologize.
Are
to
you going
to
be Cliff Pallet or are you going to be Cliff?
Cliff. Like, don't be ridiculous. Like, now you're just being silly. All right.
Excellent.
Okay, to any hobos or hair lips we may have offended, I apologize.
Especially
now.
Hair lips. Hobos don't really care much about they don't usually listen to podcasts.
I will send out a tweet and apologize.
Are you? Hashtag it Kerfeffi.
Kerfeffi.
At age 20, Ray committed his first crime, Brandy.
What'd he steal?
He stole two hogs.
He stole two hogs.
Yeah, and then he went to sell them in another town.
That's some serious shit down there.
Oh, I know it is, but
you stole a man's hog.
Oh, well, he stole it from his father, which made it even worse. And his dad, but his dad did not file any charges.
Well, no. How old was he?
He was 20.
Oh, he was 20.
He continued to commit more crimes in the following years, usually stealing livestock, Colonel. But he started turning to crimes more serious in nature once being arrested in 1936 for forging government checks in Harrison, Arkansas, for which he was sentenced to 1 year, Brandy, in the county jail. So he would have been one of your students.
Yeah, he would have been one of your people down there.
He might not have been in
that.
My pod.
He would have been in your pod.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
In the spring of 1940, Ray made a visit to the physician's office, where he met then 19-year-old Faye Delta Wilson.
Faye Delta.
Faye Delta Wilson was born on August the 4th, 1921, to Rufus and Gladys Wilson.
Rufus and Gladys.
A hardworking couple from Harrison who, despite having little money, were able to raise seven children in a dirt floor cabin, Brandy.
Good for them.
Faye developed physically at a very early age and started dating. This is terrible. I shouldn't use the word dating. But started dating men at the age of 10.
Ew. No.
That's not dating.
That's not dating. I believe that's molestation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they've. I mean.
Did she start dating men or did she start going, but you've had, going with kids her age?
No, it's in the thing that says she started dating men.
Because well, you wrote the motherfucker.
Well, I mean, in the research, that's what it says. So I don't know. I don't know what they're at. But I'm guessing older.
I mean, I had boyfriends when I was that young.
Yeah, well, because you need to get your degree.
It said men. So I'm guessing 21
no,
or older. So
gross.
It's not.
Well,
it
I would
gross.
Say men at least 17. If Faye she's 10 years, it doesn't matter if
oh,
she's.
Here we go. Faye became engaged to a 47-year-old man when she was just 13 years old. Well,
God. Ugh.
That's some Nicole Smith there.
The relationship ended when the man died of a stroke.
If she could have just made it, she would have inherited.
That close,
yeah, that's a bummer.
Faye graduated high school, you know, after her engagement fell through to this senior citizen.
Her parents let that happen.
Yeah, well. She graduated high school and started to work at a local doctor's office in 1945. That's when she met Ray, who came to see a doctor because he was injured during he was working on an automobile and the automobile fell on him. Faye and Ray started dating in 6 months, and in 6 months they were formally married, Randy.
Oh my god.
And they're pretty close in age, so that was appropriate. Within a year, they had their first child, Colonel, a boy they called Everett. Following Everett 2 years later was another son named Billy Ray.
No, Billy Ray.
No, not Billy Ray Cyrus, just Billy Ray Copeland, I guess. In 1944, Ray decided to move his family to Fresno, California, where he and Faye had their only girl, Betty Lou, the following year. So we've got
Betty Lou.
We got Everett, we've got Billy Ray, and Betty Lou. The children. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're not done. Another 2 years later, a third son, Alvia.
I guess. Unless you spelled it wrong.
And in another 2 years, Alvita was followed by William Wayne. So they got quite a little family going there.
William Wayne?
Yeah.
Sounds like Batman's dad.
Yeah,
was his name?
Bruce Wayne.
No, Bruce Wayne
was
Batman.
That's what I mean. That's what I thought you were asking.
It was Ward Wayne.
All right.
Was it Ward Wayne?
I don't know, but that sounds like what it would be.
I don't think it was. I don't remember Batman's name.
You know what?
His butler had a pretty good job. You think he got paid
Alfred?
Well?
Oh man, he had.
He was underappreciated.
He had it by the balls.
No, you know.
You know what I did?
Because he knew where all the bodies were hidden. He knew all about the bat cave.
Oh,
the
he could
have.
Yeah. Oh, I bet he knew about the bat pole.
Yeah, Batman's.
I mean, come on. How many? Be honest. Yeah. Robin's sexuality, Colonel.
I'm not making no judgments, but I don't think Robin was gonna be banging the Batgirl.
Thomas Wayne.
Who was the best Batgirl?
What about Kato? Not Caitlin. Kato from
Green Hornet.
Yeah.
Oh, Kato. Kato was a lady man.
All right.
Yeah, he was a lady
Thomas
man.
Wayne was the dad's name, and Martha was his mother's name.
See, you learned so much on this show. But you think Robin?
I think Robin could have swung from either branch, Timmy.
Okay.
He was an acrobat at a circus. Of course he could.
All right. I like when they walked up the buildings and people would put their head out the window, like Cesar Romero or somebody would put their head out the window.
Yeah.
All right. So less than a month after they moved to Fresno, right?
Yeah.
And then less than a month later, Ray was arrested for the theft of cattle.
Son of a bitch.
He was found guilty of grand larceny, Colonel, and sentenced to 1 year in jail. After completing his sentence, Ray moved the family to Rocky Comfort, Missouri in 1951.
Rocky Comfort,
Rocky
Missouri.
Rocky Comfort. It seems like a...
I feel like I need to move
there
now.
There's a paradox there.
I need to move there.
Now Google that. See what their population is, Brent.
Rocky Comfort. Rocky Comfort.
Missouri.
Because there's nothing I notice Rocky this comfortable. Mm.
Good point. It's a contradiction in terms.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when he was there in Rocky Comfort, Missouri, 1951, he was arrested for cattle theft again. This time he was sentenced to help in manual labor on the judge's farm. That seems a little shady.
Yeah. What the? So the judge says a manual.
I'm sentenced.
That's pretty good
job.
That's pretty good gig.
It is in McDonald County, Missouri.
Okay.
On Route 76. Let's see. It has a three-star hotel that averaged about $136.
All right. So they got a La Quinta.
Yeah. See. They are... Suck my ass.
Oh, that's vulgar. Again, what's with...
Oh, here.
That's what you got kicked out of the truck stop for.
Oh, shut up.
Suck my ass. Who says that?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's going to be on me now.
It has been. The post office there has been in operation since 1876.
What's the population?
Let's see.
Did they mention Ray Copeland? Right?
They mention nothing. There's nothing on it. That is all that it says. Right. It's an unincorporated community in northeastern McDonald County, Missouri.
All right. Well, in 1951, Ray and Faye and the kids lived there, and he was arrested. He got sentenced for stealing cattle to work manual labor on the judge's farm, which I think is bullshit. But anyway, starting in 1953, he began following the same pattern as his parents did. And when he was a child, he started moving the family around from state to state. During their travels, Ray was arrested at least 5 times for writing bad checks. In 1961, the year of my birth, Ray paid for 20 cattle with a bad check, Colonel, and he was sentenced to 9 months in jail. Remember when writing bad checks was a thing?
Yes.
And you had to make sure you didn't write.
You know what I did, Timmy?
The banks were turning it over to prosecutors.
Now, Renee was pregnant with the twins, and I'm financially illiterate, Timmy.
And illiterate overall. That's
and
fair.
Yeah, illiterate overall. So she's pregnant with the twins and in the hospital. She was in the hospital for that last month of the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I got paid. I'm getting paid, you know. And normally I just came home, and this before direct deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I just come home and I give my paycheck to Renee.
We should say this is a period in our younger listeners.
Yeah.
Where you pay by things by check, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have an automatic withdrawal or you didn't
no,
have,
you
credit,
didn't have the
cards,
internet. You didn't have, right. You know,
debit
so.
Debit cards or.
Yeah, you had an envelope. You wrote a check. You mm-hmm. mailed it off. So I am going to the money machine. you know, because you had the debit cards, and I got plenty of money in there.
Also known as an ATM.
An ATM, yeah. Right. The ATM. I got plenty of money in there, and Renee's in there for like 5 weeks. And my paychecks, I normally give to her. Mm-hmm. So she ain't
depositing them.
Well, I can't give them to her because she's in the hospital, so I just leave them at my desk. Mm-hmm. So I got like 5 paychecks in my desk. And then one day I get like these 3 letters from the bank mm-hmm. saying that this check has been blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how could that be? I was just at the money machine the other day and they let me have money.
Again, the money machine. Okay.
And see, apparently Renee was paying bills from the hospital bed and writing checks. And it that concept
and you
of,
didn't have the common sense to deposit your fucking checks.
No, but remember when you had, I mean, you so, probably remember when you had to make sure your check cleared before
oh,
you
yeah.
spent any money.
I still do. I have to pay for daycare with a check.
I went to the bank.
You have to pay for your child's lunch with a check.
Motherfuckers, I know, right?
I went to the bank, Timmy, because I knew. I mean, this was, I was actually very afraid because I knew when Renee found out there was just going to be hell to pay.
Well, and because she realizes that you're a dipshit.
Yeah.
And you're not very responsible.
So the lady said, you know, this has never happened before, whatever. You know, we can waive these fees because they charge you money for that.
Oh, yeah. They do.
$35.
Overdraft fees.
$35 She's bucks like, every time.
Yeah. So she said, we'll waive these fees. And it was, it seemed like it was $75, the $25 a check. And one was our mortgage for our house. And anyway, so I said, okay.
How did he live
if
this
we,
long?
If we waive the fees, but is there any way, if you waive the fees, this cannot show up? Like, this cannot be on a paper trail anywhere.
Right.
And it wasn't possible. And Renee got the check statement and she balanced and she found out and she yelled at me.
That's a goddamn amazing story. I'm glad we fucking stopped talking about dead hobos. It's just to deal with your bullshit.
It didn't occur to me
now?
That here's the thing.
Do I look like fucking Dr. Phil that wants to listen to your happy horse shit all goddamn day?
Be careful, Colonel.
Jesus Christ!
It's a second, Demi. It's confusing because you go to the money station, the money machine, and it gives you money back.
I know.
But you don't have money in there. It shouldn't do it.
I know.
Just shouldn't
math
happen.
Is hard. Can you fucking get on with it over there?
Thank you, Randy.
Jesus.
All right.
Christ.
So after anyway, he's.
I still get reminded of that. The boys are 22 years old. Every time something comes up, she'll tell me about the time I bounced a mortgage check.
Well.
In 1961, Brandy.
Yes.
Ray bought 20 heads of cattle with a bad check, and he turned around and sold them. But the seller was not too happy when he found out the check bounced, so he turned it over to the prosecutor. Ray was arrested, and he spent 9 months in jail. After he was released, he bought 9 more heads of cattle at an auction with a bad check. Again, same thing. The police caught up with him. He spent another 9 months in jail. During the summer of 1966, that's a summer before the Summer of Love, Colonel. The Copeland family.
2 years before.
I think it was Summer of Love was 67, I think.
No, it was 68.
Look it up. The Copeland family moved to return to Missouri.
Write that down.
Write that down. Copeland family in 1966 returned to Missouri where Ray and Faye successfully purchased a small farm with 40 acres of land in Mooresville, Missouri. Brandy, check that out. See what the population of Mooresville is.
What is it?
Mooresville, Mooresville, Missouri.
All right.
Faye soon took a job at the local glove-making company where she made glove, Colonel.
She made sweet, sweet gloves.
Yeah. See, if
what
you said
is it? Moore's what?
Mooresville. So she made gloves for a living. That's a honest living. Ray provided. Ray proved unpopular with the neighbors. However,
well, fuck you! Was stealing all the cattle and shit. You get somebody stealing your dog.
Mooresville. The last population that was taken, or the last census was taken in 2010. The population there was 91.
Right. Well, they
wonder what it is today. I bet we could call somebody out there and ask them what the population is.
Well, Ray and Faye was living there. It was probably closer to 100 with all those kids. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah.
Didn't have as many pigs. But
right. More cattle. Ray proved unpopular with his neighbors, who viewed him as a bitterly elderly man and suspected physically abused his family.
Bitter elderly man.
Faye. Be nice. Faye and the Copeland children.
Abused his family. Dottie.
Faye and the Copeland children.
He tried to kill Dottie all the time.
I would never do that. She's a wonderful mother. Faye and the Copeland children later denied these allegations, Brandy. How dare you? Wanting to gain some money and yet not knowing that another arrest for forgery would send him to prison for a long amount of time due to his lengthy arrest record, Ray formulated a scheme to scam people purchasing cattle and then getting away with it. He developed a plan to use drifters, Brandy.
Well.
Or, as we call them.
Hobos.
Hobos.
Hobos. To sign in his name, in their hand, writing, checks to buy cattle. He would then take that. He would then have them buy the cattle. He would sell the cattle. And then they would come after these guys. He would set up a checking account for these transients. And they would go buy cattle, and then they would give the cattle to him. He'd, you know, give them a few bucks. And then that way he was kind of, you know, it's a pretty good idea there, Colonel. You got to admit that.
It's a pretty good scheme. Mm-hmm.
He planned to show.
He was the Bernie Madoff
of cattle wrestling.
That little town there.
His plan was to show up at cattle auctions, catering.
At what a kind?
Cattle.
Cattle. Okay.
Yeah, cattle auctions. Bringing in hitchhikers and hobos. Purchase cattle in their name, and then he would, like I said, he would give him a small amount, and then when the check would bounce, he was scot-free because they were not in his name. He would claim innocence, Brandy, when authorities would eventually come to investigate and allege that he was involved. So, Brandy, tell us what happens next in the life and career of Ray and Faye Copeland.
Well, since the men he purchased the cattle from were hobos, hitchhikers, and drifters, they would have already skipped town to continue with their travels, giving them liability to forgery. While the scheme was completely unoriginal, Ray was able to get away with the scheme dozens of times until one of Ray's scam victims, Gerald Perkins, was interrogated by police and he exposed Ray's scheme. Ray was soon arrested and sentenced to almost 2 years in jail for check forgery.
Oh, look at you talking into the mic now, and everybody can hear you. Oh, good job, devil. Now, see, that's how I tried to teach you before, but okay, put the screwdriver down.
That did sound good when you're talking into the mic, though.
I understand. It's not like I'm 12 feet away from the mic.
I know. I'm just saying it's a better sound. As your sound engineer, I can concur with the colonel. That's all.
As somebody who 90% of the time never talks into the mic, Tim.
And Chuck doesn't either. Chuck looks at me, and when you can really
I show. Know. Okay. All right. So, see, you made me lose my goddamn spot. All right.
You're only
so,
one sentence into your script. How can you lose
no,
your spot?
No, I'm not. When he was released from prison, Ray tweaked his scam a little, and instead of having his scam victims write checks from his account, they would be told to get a post office box and open up an account in their name, then have them write checks from their accounts at cattle auctions.
Seems a little sketchy.
His explanation for this to the scam victims were that auctioneers disliked him for one reason or another and would not give him a fair shake.
Oh, well, you know, those fucking auctioneers.
Yeah,
they're, you ever date an auctioneer?
They're right? A rowdy bunch. No.
Colonel, you ever date an auctioneer?
Hmm?
Have you ever dated an auctioneer?
No, I have not dated an auctioneer. I would love to. Go on once. Go on twice. I got a home over here. Can I get a home over here? Go on once. Go on twice.
After the scheme was carried out.
What do you think, Timmy?
I think you would make an excellent auctioneer.
Okay. After the scheme was carried out, Ray would eliminate the key witness by murdering him.
Motherfucker.
Ray would come.
That's some bullshit there.
Fucking killing the witness?
He's killing the fucking hobo. Now see,
that fucks up the whole court system when you do that.
Yeah, it really does. It's an obstruction of justice.
It is.
Faye would come out to act as an accomplice in this scheme. Since the 1970s, Copeland had been known to pick up hitchhikers to work on his farm. Uneasy neighbors watched year after year as a parade of scrappy, unsavory, and unshaven came and went. No one ever knew what became of them, and no one cared.
Who's that sound like?
Chuck.
Describe him again.
Scrappy, unsavory, and unshaven.
So in unkempt and you got it. Disheveled.
Right.
You know what? I'm shoveled today.
You are shoveling something. Let's see. Ray's scheme worked, with the couple claiming 5 to 12 victims. On September 2nd, 1986, Ray struck up a conversation with a hobo named Dennis K. Murphy, 42, from Normal, Illinois.
What if hobos have business cards, Colonel?
I doubt it.
I think they got a. There's a hobo handshake.
Oh, are they? Yeah. A secret handshake?
Mm-hmm. Secret hobo handshake. There is a hobo code.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Live by that code, Randy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Live and die by that code.
Okay. Murphy had been riding the rails for more than 2 years when Ray offered him a place to stay and a hot meal.
Can't beat that.
Faye seemed to find Murphy attractive. Faye liked Murphy.
Oh, Faye liked
And her flirtation with him started to grate on Ray's nerves. On October 17th, 1986, over two days, Murphy purchased several heads of cattle using bad checks set up by Ray. He was shot in the back of the head by Ray with a .22 caliber rifle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was kind of hitting on Faye.
Well, on November 19th...
Faye was getting tingly looking at, thinking about him, Murphy.
Yeah, well, on November...
Faye likes hobo. She's got a hobo fetish.
Maybe.
Have you ever looked at hobo porn, Brandy?
No.
Colonel?
I personally do not like the hobo types.
Do what?
I do not like the hobo types.
Really?
It's a short, jagged pants.
Can you just say
pants.
Yes or no?
You know, they're short. They're pants legs that are all chopped off at the bottom.
That little stick. And
with the handkerchief on it.
Yeah.
When you can walk in, all you got to do is go to the Goodwill, get into one of their donation things, and get you a good backpack.
Yeah, or get a plastic bag. Why do you need to carry that?
You know what? I can't figure out these guys. Now, we work down in Over the Rhine, which is one of the most.
Yeah, it's a tough area.
Yeah.
Tough name.
And a lot of guys, they make their living collecting aluminum cans. Mm-hmm. And they will have these huge ass bags of aluminum cans. Why don't they crush you, son of a bitches? Make a $3 investment into a can crusher, and you could carry many more bags of. Cans around in your bag.
You make a good point, Colonel. I don't know why more people don't listen.
It's like there's no. It's like these can guys have no business sense at all.
Brandy, you got to admit that he makes a good point.
Amazing. All right, so
I'm just saying, if you're going to be a hobo, you need a can crusher, a good can crusher.
Mm-hmm. On November 19th, 1986.
Did you see that woman who crushed cans with her boobs?
I did. I didn't see the point of that. Could you do that, Devil?
Probably. On November 19, 1986, Ray shot 38-year-old Wayne Warner, a transient from Bloomington, Illinois, after a similar illegal transaction. Hobo Jimmy Dale Harvey, 27, of Springfield, Missouri, was killed by a shotgun blast from Ray on October 25, 1988. So what, are they just going...
Yeah, he's just
knocking people off.
Yeah, he's getting these guys.
John Freeman was a 27-year-old transient from Tulsa, Oklahoma, when he was killed by Ray Copeland on December 8th, 1988.
Yeah, I mean, this is for financial gain, not sexual gain, but it's sort of like, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what race, you know, proclivities were. But it's not like he's, I mean, it's sort of like the guys, serial killers picking up hookers. These are guys who are not going to be missed for the most
right.
part.
Right. Finally, on May 1st, 1989.
There's no breast involved. Colonel likes breast.
I don't like hobo breasts.
What about female hobos?
Well, that would depend on the hobo, I suppose.
Yeah.
Not if she had those little capri pants with the cut-off jaggedy edges. I don't like those.
What if she could tuck them in her shorts?
That'd be okay.
Hey. What if she could touch the tip of her tongue with her, or tip her, her nose with her tongue?
You'd have to take them to the car wash and give them a good power washing, Timmy, because those hobos, they're not known for the hygiene.
All right. What if she had
I like me a hygienic
D's.
Girl.
Double D's.
After I got it back from the car wash.
He likes him a hygienic hobo.
I like me a clean, squeaky clean hobo.
Finally, on May 1st, 1989, a young hobo named Paul J. Cowart, 21, of Dardanelle, Arkansas, was killed by Ray after he purchased some cattle using a bad check.
I just want to say, if you're a hobo already at age 21,
you've made some poor decisions.
You have.
During their crimes, they employed 57-year-old Jack McCormick, who soon caught on to their legal activity. When Ray sensed McCormick's suspicions, he attempted to kill him, but McCormick was able to flee. It wasn't until late summer of 1989, after the anonymous call to the Crime Stoppers hotline, that the residents of Mooreville had their worst suspicions confirmed. At 7:30 p.m. on August 20th, 1989, Crime Stoppers toll-free hotline received a bizarre anonymous tip.
See, Crime Stopper pays off.
I know. The caller accused Copeland of murdering farmhands. He told of seeing a skull and human bones buried on the land, then he hung up. Police were not surprised to hear Copeland's name connected to such a horrible allegation. The old farmer had been in the sights of local authorities for the last 3 years. Folks around Mooresville, population 130, had always viewed him as a menacing oddball. Real bitey and snappy, recalled the owner of the local cafe.
Bitey and snappy. Have you ever, is that how you would describe the colonel?
No.
No, but I know who'd be described bitey and snappy around
who?
Here.
Who? 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 Seriously.
Look at it.
Who?
It's like, you know what? It's like you just went up and slapped a pit bull in the side of the head.
then don't be surprised when like I rip off your face.
It's like saying to a pit bull, I know who does bark around here.
Yeah. Let's see. He was very bitey and snappy.
You seem very upset, Brandy, today. You seem on edge. Are you looking forward to Crime Con?
Yes. He yelled at waitresses. Others said that they had seen Copeland intentionally run over dogs.
Oh, that's not cool.
What a dick move.
Yeah.
More disturbing was how he'd hang around the places where transients could get a hot meal and a bed, talking about big money and making job offers.
All right. So he's doing some recruiting down at the soup kitchen, it sounds like.
Yes. For 3 years, local police had been tracking a string of bad checks passed by transients who had been working for Copeland. He and his hired man would attend cattle auctions and bid exorbitant prices. The hired man would write a bad check, and together the pair would take off with the livestock. By the time the check bounced, the cattle had been resold, and the man who signed the check had vanished. At least a dozen men had worked with Copeland from 1986 to the summer of 1989. Five vanished after stealing a total of $32,000 with phony bank accounts and bad paper. Ray Copeland said he knew nothing about what happened to his workers. In fact, he told police that they'd bounced checks to him, too.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
Then in September of 1989, cops tracked down one of his former farmhands, Jack McCormick. At 56, boozy Jack McCormick had been drifting for years. When the police snagged him in Oregon and charged him with bouncing checks in Missouri, he offered details of how Copeland operated. He also boasted that he knew where the bodies were buried. McCormick, who described himself as a complete... Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Described himself as a common gutter tramp and drunk. That's a man who knows tramp. His place in life.
Yeah. I'm basically just... What do you do for a living? When he fills out his tax returns, I'm a common gutter tramp.
Yeah, nothing special.
Seems he lacks self-esteem.
Nothing special.
Yeah. Or he has very good self-awareness.
Exactly.
One or the other, yeah.
He said he'd been living at the Victory Mission in Springfield, Missouri, when Copeland came sniffing around for workers. Charles.
Sniffed around.
Tell me more.
Yes, Colonel. I see you're well prepared for your part.
Allow me to find my script here.
Okay. Was it a complete surprise to you that you were going to
be
on
this podcast? Realize that this was what we were doing just now?
I was so engrossed in your storytelling there, Devil, that I
He was looking at memes
was
during
the a little surprised there.
I know.
He was looking at Jesus memes.
I'm sure. Kerfeffi. Now Kerfeffi
with
memes.
With the promise of a $20,000 a year job, which was big money back then.
Oh, it's big money now.
The farmer lured the old drunk to me. I think you slandered him there.
I apologize.
He helped McCormick get a P.O. box in his checking account.
I slandered him. This is the guy who said he's a common gutter tramp.
Well, he helps.
I complimented him.
Okay, he's just old drunk. So anyway, he sets him up with a P.O. box and a checking account. Now, together, these men attend some cattle auctions. McCormick does the bidding on the animals, and Copeland won it. Now, then McCormick would write one of these rubber checks, you know, fully aware that the sums were far beyond his means, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this went on for a short time until McCormick fled after Copeland pointed a .22 caliber rifle at his head.
Mm.
I came close to being killed before I got out of there, McCormick told reporters. It was McCormick who made the call to the hotline in August, Timmy.
See, Brandy, a hotline comes back. It's telling you.
Crime Stoppers is...
Yeah.
Yeah, shortly after he'd made his escape.
You know how many... You know, Crime Dog McGruff has put a lot in behind bars.
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, okay, we got McCormick calling up the hotline. The old drunk... Again, the old drunk story was enough. You can't just say McCormick in here, Bob Ross. It's Bob Ross in a bad mood. That fucking old drunk.
Slanderous.
A common gutter tramp. I mean, what the fuck?
Slanderous.
Timmy was in a shitty mood when he wrote this fucking old drunk story.
He's self-identifying. Who am I to say? If that's how he self-identifies as a common gutter tramp.
Okay, so the hobo, old drunk, rat bastard, son of a bitch.
Now you're taking it too far.
Okay. His story was enough to arrest both Copelands on charges of swindling. That's
fucking swindlers.
That's a serious allegation right there. The authorities, who were already aware of Ray's arrest record, and gathered evidence to support McCormick's statements to secure a search warrant for the Copeland property. A week-long search on the property was eventually initiated, in which three bodies, a list of farm helpers by Fay, and a quilt made from the clothing of the victims was discovered. This was like, they were the Ed Geims, but they,
Ed Geim. Jesus fucking Christ, it's 2.5 years since that podcast.
I know.
He still can't pronounce the guy's name.
No, he's ridiculous.
Ed Geim. So anyway.
I will help you with your pronunciation if you need
help. I appreciate that, Timmy.
I've got a flip chart that's got like little lips on it. I'll be happy to walk you through.
I appreciate that, Timmy. The following week, investigators searched another barn purchased by Ray and found two more bodies. Oh, that son of a bitch burying bodies all over the place. Overall, officers discovered three bodies in a barn that were buried in three separate graves. The men were identified as 21-year-old Paul Jason Cowart from Dardanelle, Arkansas, 27-year-old John Freeman from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and 27-year-old Jimmy Dale Harvey from Springfield, Missouri.
Jimmy Dale.
Yeah. All hobos, gutter snipes, tramps, and
gutter snipes.
Ne'er-do-wells. Another man, Wayne Warner, was found later in a barn under bales of hay that was stacked up to the ceiling.
Motherfucker.
Dennis Murphy. That one aggravated you, didn't it, Tim?
Ow.
Dennis Murphy was the last to be found, and he was found in an old well. Ooh, they poisoned the well. All had been shot in the head, back of the head, with a .22 caliber rifle. Ray and Fay were arrested. Prosecutors quickly offered a plea deal to Fay. If she revealed to investigators the location of more bodies, her only charge would be conspiracy to commit murder, which would result in only a few months in jail for her cooperation.
Yeah, I take that deal.
However, Tim,
all right.
Fay seemed to cover for her husband, telling the prosecutors of her unaware nature of Ray's killings. The Copelands were arraigned on 5 counts of first-degree murder, Timmy. During the investigation, it became clear that Ray, who was a murderer who killed his employees in the pursuit of money, but Faye's actions were initially questioned. During the investigation, a piece of evidence came into light that connected her to the crimes as well. The quilt made from the hobo's clothes. Yeah,
she made a quilt of the dead guy's clothes.
Yeah.
That's evidence.
Renee made a quilt on my T-shirts one time, really? But she didn't kill me.
No. Yeah.
So when Faye went to trial on November 1st, 1990, Timmy,
all right.
Her defense mounted.
And they're old at this time. He was born in 1914. So yeah, when he went on trial,
she's 76 years old.
Yeah, right.
Her defense mounted a picture of her as a dutiful wife and a mother who had endured beatings and general ill treatment from her husband.
No, that's not
the
cool.
defense was going to claim battered woman wife. Syndrome.
Yeah, battered wife syndrome.
Okay. But however, the quilt, Timmy, it remained a reminder that she knew full well what her husband was doing. He was a serial murderer, and she did nothing to stop him, Timmy.
Yeah, she could at least said, you know, knock that off.
Yeah. Now, devil, pay attention to this, because we're getting to the good part here.
Pay attention, Brandy.
With evidence against her solid, she was found guilty on all counts, all five counts against her. They convicted her of four counts of murder and one count, just one count of manslaughter there. She was given four death sentences for the murders and life without parole for the manslaughter, so they went easy on her.
Well, four death sentences don't sound like they issued.
Well, they gave her life without parole on that fifth one. So. Yeah. So Faye was sentenced to death by lethal injection and a life sentence without parole. But she had to do lethal injection before she could do, because they were consecutive terms. So she would have to get the lethal injection before she did the life sentence.
So do they? Yeah, and then your sentence is greatly reduced after the lethal injection. So do they give you four times the amount of the serum or the you know?
I think if you get two, I think they drag your body behind a car.
Okay.
And depending on how many murder charges, it's how far. That's how far you get dragged.
Okay. So anyway, she was convicted, sentenced to death for four murders, and then she got sentenced to life and without parole for the fifth. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right.
Now Ray finds out about this.
What's his response?
Well, he shows not a bit of emotion and said, "Well, those things happen to some, you know."
sounds like he's real invested in. Yeah. Ray.
On March 7th, 1991, Ray was on trial for killing, and he was quickly convicted and sentenced to death by lethal injection for all five of them. After hearing the judge sentence Ray, he just said, "Okay." Now, at the ages of 76 and 69, respectively, they became the oldest couple ever sentenced to death in American history.
How about that?
2 years later, Ray passed away. He died while awaiting execution at the Potosi Correctional Facility.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and on August 6th, 1999, a year before 2000, Timmy.
Okay, yeah, that's right. A year before Y2K.
Faye's death sentence was overturned because the court found that there was not sufficient evidence in her involvement to warrant such a sentence.
So she gets, what happens?
So she got a life sentence still.
Okay. But still, she's 79 at this point or something.
Yeah, this prompted outrage from several women's rights activist groups. You know how those feminists are, Timmy.
Oh, Lord.
You get a word. You're not that new. You're on your own there, dude.
They protested her imprisonment, even though she had made a quilt out of these, and argued that she was no longer deemed a threat to society. Well, shit. Now, see, that's some bullshit right there, Timmy.
Wait, does that concern you, Colonel?
Well, it concerns me because I believe the men and women should get equal treatment. Mm-hmm. And when you say, she's no longer a threat, mm-hmm. Well, fuck, there are all kinds of 80-year-old men stumbling around a prison. Ain't no threat to society anymore. Ain't letting them stumble out into the world.
All right.
So she was a threat. You never know when she's going to make another quilt. Grandmas make quilts all the time.
He's got a point, Brandy.
Yeah. She's a quilt maker. And what she makes quilt out of is dead people's clothes. Fine. So she goes and wants to make herself another quilt. All of a sudden, five more people are dead.
That's not too far off from something like Ed Gein would do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Eddie Gein.
Mm-hmm. But no one listened to these protests from these crazy women, Timmy.
Really?
Yeah. In December,
2000.
After an attempt to reinstate Faye's death sentence a month prior, Tom and Jeanette Block, founders of the Missourians Against State Killing Mask, continued to fight for Faye's release from prison by requesting people send in letters of support to the governor with a petition for her release. On August 2002, Faye suffered a stroke that made her incapable of speech, and she could no longer control her bowels. As a result,
that's a problem.
As a result, she was paroled weeks later to the Morningside nursing home.
Brandy, you just can't have your bowels doing willy-dilly, whatever it was.
No, that's a bad scene.
She was sent to the Morningside nursing home in her hometown of Harrison, Arkansas.
All right.
On December 30, Timmy, 2003.
Just a very short period of time before the new year, Colonel.
Faye passed away in the Morning Center nursing prison. Of natural causes
and
at the ages of 82.
And you know what's odd about that?
I don't know.
That at December 30th was Ray's birthday.
Yeah, she died on his birthday, Timmy.
Yeah. Wow, that's
so oldest people ever sentenced to death in the United States, Timmy. There you go.
There's a cautionary tale, Brandy.
Don't be a hobo. No good comes from being a hobo.
Well, he wasn't a hobo. He was killing hobos.
Well, fuck, he had it better than they did. He lived longer than the hobos did. The hobos died at 27 years old.
One was 21. Brandy, your final thoughts on serial killers, Ray and Faye Copeland.
You know, they couldn't even come up with an original scam.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Do you feel bad for the hobos?
I do feel bad for the hobos. You should be able to hobo
without
fear of being murdered.
She's got a point, Colonel. What's your thoughts on your final thoughts on serial killer Ray? Or serial killers Ray and Faye Copeland.
Well, I am not saying what they did was right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get that thrown at me. But as a life rule, I am typically anti-hobo.
So you're telling me you don't think that hobos should have the same rights and protections under the law?
I think they should have the same rights and protections, but hobos are like clowns to me.
No.
I see them and they're just up to no good.
No.
I think they're a little bit more, how should we say, Brandy, sexually more adventurous than clowns.
Promiscuous.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Rapey.
And rapey, yeah. I don't like rapey hobos.
Homos think that, here's the world. If everyone was hobo, Colonel, men could just walk up to women or other men, pull down their pants and do their business, just like dogs, if it was up to hobos.
If it was up to hobos, yeah, according to the hobo code.
So, Brandy, now do you want to reconsider your thoughts on hoboism?
And, you know, hobos really don't, they don't vote. They don't do stuff like that. They don't pay taxes.
You need to vote. You know, if you want a voice in our country.
I don't remember my position at this point.
Well, you said that hobos should
be
protected.
You're pro-hobo.
No, it's not that I'm pro-hobo.
Well, it sounded like you were pro-hobo. Did it sound like you were pro-hobo?
I believe you were going to start a hobo coalition.
No, I feel like hobos should be able to hobo around without fear of molestation or murder.
Yeah, but what?
But they molest and murder each other.
Well, then that's different.
Also, it's okay for one hobo to molest another hobo or kill another
Basically,
hobo.
She's saying,
but once the outside... So hobos are like the Amish. They should be protected from the outside world.
No, I'm saying is, you know how you can fuck with your family, but then if somebody else comes and fucks with your family, you fuck them up?
So you're saying hobos should be able to rape each other without any consequence?
I'm not saying they should be.
Well, is that what she was saying?
Okay.
I don't know that hobos even recognize no rapesies or dibs.
Well, no dibs just plunges their
world into
anarchy.
I mean, it's like Lord of the Flies on those trains.
If there's a apple pie that's in a windowsill.
No, in a windowsill, they'll steal that sumbitch. Yes, they will. Leave your laundry hanging out there. Mm-hmm. If you see a hobo with a nice pair of jeans on, he stole them.
What
Clean,
the fuck
fresh.
Kind of shit have you been watching?
I'm just telling you. You see hobos all the time running past laundry lines, stealing clothes.
I don't see hobos all the time doing that.
Wait a minute. We were standing out front, and we were talking about some of the sights that we see out in front of our office.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what you saw a couple weeks ago.
The mariachi guy?
Yes.
Guy riding by on his bike with a big old mariachi hat on with all the friends. You've seen him, haven't you?
I've seen him.
And then one day we were out there. The guy was riding down the street in a unicycle.
Yeah.
And about 20 feet tall.
Yeah, that was parade day.
And then there was one guy that took a big dump.
Yeah, he pooped across
the street. There was two of them.
Yeah, there was a couple of those. They pooped across the street.
On the sidewalk.
Yeah. On a busy highway, on a busy road.
Yeah.
And then the one guy and there's been a couple of them, but this guy was pretty special because he took one of those big-ass boom boxes and, you know, duct taped it to the front of his bike.
The front of his bike, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a kid's bike.
No, this was an adult bike, but we see a lot of grown people riding kids' bikes.
Yeah, they're beating up 13-year-olds. These are fucking hobos, Brandon.
Yeah.
I don't know that
these
are
the people that you're aligning yourself with.
I align myself with enabling. Nobody.
You're a hobo enabler, devil.
All right, we want to talk about CrimeCon. It's coming up, of course, next weekend, June the 9th through the 11th. We're going to be in Indianapolis, the 10th and the 11th.
9th, 10th, and 11th.
Yes. Are we going to be there 3 days or two?
We're there the 9th, 10th,
okay,
and 11th. Ninth.
Okay, so we're going to be there Friday the 9th, Saturday the 10th, and then we're leaving on the 11th. And we would love to see all of you out. If you're going to be in CrimeCon, please let us know because we want to meet you. And just don't touch us in any way. Is that fair, Brandy?
That's fair. That's fair. Seems fair.
Colonel?
You can touch me.
We are just down. We're down to earth people, and we'd love to meet you. Just, you know, don't talk to us unless you're spoken to.
Don't look directly at us.
Right. Don't look directly, or you'll turn to salt.
Well, that's probably true.
No, but we are looking forward to meeting all of you in CrimeCon. We're going to try to do a special podcast with some of our listeners. And you got any shout outs, Colonel?
I got Lady Beverly, of course, who's over in England, and she's too good for this group, really.
She is a saint.
Gotta give a shout out to our girl Fallon, because she was having a little bit of a rough time. So hopefully she's the mascot for Team Colonel.
And she got it worked out.
She got it worked out, and of course, lovely Dottie,
my mom.
Who we do this
love you, mom.
For
yes,
and.
And the girls, we should give a shout out to the Colonel's.
The Colonel's bad girls. These are the mods on the page. Jen, Karen, and Amber.
And Radica now.
Radica, she's been a Colonel bad girl for a long time.
You made everybody in the world a mod on the page. So.
Well, our family, their family.
And Dominique.
So if our Dominique.
My lovely niece, Dominique.
Justin,
and
TJ,
Tammy, Shirley.
Shirley, kind of squirrely. Shirley.
Yes. And we're going to leave people out, but we do appreciate your support and listening and all your participation on the page. And if anyone fucks with you, we got
them
some Colonel Justice
off.
For you.
Colonel had his oiled up his guns, Timmy.
Yeah.
Had his spurs on.
We don't take kindly to fuckery, Brandy.
No
we do not.
On that page.
We want everyone to join us.
Well, we like the fuckery. We just don't like the
disrespectful fuckery.
Mean fuckery.
Yes. So if you would like to join us on History Dweebs, the podcast. We would love to have you. And you're working on a new shout-out list. Is that right, Colonel?
We are trying to get a system in place that includes everybody on a rotation.
Yes.
But it's the
We're
page
growing.
Has gotten so big.
Yeah. But we love you all. Thank you for listening. And where can people find us, Brandy?
Find us on Facebook, like you said.
Yeah, on Twitter.
History Dweebs, the podcast, and on Facebook.
Stitcher.
You can find us on Twitter. You can find us at History Dweebs 1. You can follow Brandy at Brandy Vinay. It's Brandy V-E-N-N-A. Or you can follow the Colonel at Hawk Walters. And you can find us on Stitcher and all the podcast apps. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
good day.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.